Well, hello, everybody. I'm Steve Parker with Archer, and we are back for another edition of Direct Connect. And today I am pleased to be joined by Kyle Jones from Sinclair University. Is it college or university? I should know that.
We're a college. Yeah, we're a community college. So we're offering 2-year, but we can do 4-year now. So we do baccalaureate programs.
Excellent. I apologize. I brain fart on the name of your institution. I was thinking Sinclair.edu, but I'm like, wait a second, what's the real name? But that's all good. Anyhow, we're going to talk today about externships, which is kind of like the opposite of internships in a sense. And I've known Kyle for a while now. We're both affiliated with an organization known as NSITE, which is a community college program. Well, beyond community colleges, but a college program run out of Whatcom Community College up in Bellingham, Washington, working on a variety of workforce development type issues in that space. One of the programs you guys got going over there is externships. So to start with, Kyle, why don't you introduce yourself a little more than you already have, and hopefully you won't botch it as badly as I did.
That's right. So my name is Kyle Jones. I'm the chair of information technology and cybersecurity at Sinclair Community College. We're located here in Dayton, Ohio. Kind of like what Stephen was saying is we're affiliated with a Insight Center, which is the National Cybersecurity Training Center for the United States, for the National Science Foundation. And that is a national effort, right? So it's anything related to cybersecurity training for the U.S., especially when it comes to National Science Foundation training dollars. That's what we're doing, and I'm specifically over the externship program. And with that program, I get to work with faculty all over the United States. These are faculty members that have taught in cybersecurity or network engineering for years, and we put them in companies to help them with projects. So it's a little bit different, like Stephen was saying, with internships. This is externships, where you're taking a skilled employee and putting them back in the workforce to help out with a project. Or you're taking somebody like me. I spent almost 17 years in industry working at a SOC. So I, have been now teaching for 10 years. So I need to get back in the field to get, see what everything's in the industry is going again, so I can bring that back to the classroom.
You touched on externships a bit. You touched on NSITE, which you're part of. So part of the work at NSITE, of course, is the externship program, which is what I want to dive into today. So high-level overview, what is NSITE doing around externships at a high level? And then we'll jump down into some of the details.
Sure. At a high level, NSITE has provided the opportunity for community college and university faculty members to have an experience to go work at a company. They pay a stipend, so the company doesn't have to pay for it. And essentially, NSITE is looking at collecting information about where are our gaps in education? What are we missing? Are we missing something in manufacturing? Are we missing cybersecurity stuff in the energy sector? What are we missing that we need to come back and start building training programs from? Are there community colleges and universities that are needing modules in certain areas that we're missing a gap? So that's what the initial idea of this externship was to send faculty out to start collecting that information a little bit more on the front end to bring that information back to NSITE.
Yeah, so it's kind of the opposite of an internship. With an internship, the student's going out to learn about the business so they could potentially work there. With an externship, if I'm understanding, you're sending faculty members to work in industry, brief stints in industry, with the intent that they would learn things about the business or the industry they didn't know and then be able to incorporate that back into the curriculum. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, yeah. So we have the faculty members spend about 80 hours with their company that they've been selected to do their externship with. And some have been everything from manufacturing to we just had one finish up doing cybersecurity work for our ports, our major port systems. And it is interesting reading over everything, because a lot of the time the faculty member will get an extern ship where they are performing with a task. Maybe it's an audit of their cybersecurity systems. Maybe it's even helping design firewall settings and set up configurations and routes. Because you are getting a faculty member that may have spent 20 years plus teaching concepts or doing actually developmental work in that area. And the nice thing is that some of the companies that's taken our externs, they've been small to medium-sized companies, so companies with maybe 10 to 15 employees, and maybe they're needing to do an audit of their system and they just don't have the time and resources to do certain things. They give that project to the faculty member that comes in because they can kind of hit the ground running, you know, with those ideas and concepts to help out with that project.
You know, one of the concerns sometimes with interns is that these are obviously entry-level or pre-entry-level type employees. So how much value you can get from an intern is sometimes subject of debate. With a faculty member, as you point out, they may already come with experience. So they are typically expected to do some type of real work there, provide some value to that organization in the process of also learning more about the quote-unquote real world as it applies to that industry.
Yeah, and it really works well. You know, like some examples, Insight knew that the CMMC, the cybersecurity maturity model, was going to be a huge push because the federal government's pushing that for small and medium-sized companies to get federal contracts. Like, you'll have to do this audit, right? Some of them are self-audits. Some of the times you have to get an auditor in. Well, we have a lot of faculty members that are trained on how those audits work because Insight put together a CMMC training program. Well, some of those small to medium-sized companies, like with our Manufacturing Extension Partnership Program, are needing to do those self-audits. Well, who better to pick than a faculty member that's been doing auditing or working in cyber defense for 20 years to come in to help write up the audit, you know, record the audit, give suggestions about, you know, best practices to help resolve issues because of the audit. So instead of just going through the checklist, they're actually giving feedback like, hey, here's this idea, here's this concept. We've even had companies say, hey, you know, you've worked with students. Can you help our interns coming in? So then the faculty member helps interns coming into the company as well.
I think every question you answer, I get two more questions. So I'm trying to figure out where to go with this one. But I guess, first of all, a double-barreled question. One, where do you find the faculty members who want to do this? And where do you find the employers and how do you match them up? So maybe three questions.
Yeah, sure. So we are operating in every state. So Insight, since it's the National Science Foundation National Center for Cybersecurity Education, a lot of people follow Insight. A lot of faculty members follow Insight just because that's where they get a lot of their training or their extra things for the National Science Foundation. So there's already hundreds and hundreds of colleges and universities already connected to Insight. So essentially, we do a call out on Insight's website saying, hey, are you interested in doing this faculty experience? Once they fill out an application form, they go to a review committee to be selected to be a part of the program. Once they're selected, we normally work with that individual to work with a company that might be on their business and industry leadership team, or it might be a company that they're trying to get into, or it might be their local manufacturing extension partnership. So most of the groundwork is a lot of time the faculty getting their externship placed. So like, take for instance, I don't have like a list of placement places, you know, and I don't match them. Most of the time the faculty member is coming saying, hey, you know, I have a security defense center that I would love to work with that are part of my business advisory team. I would love to work with them. You know, they want to bring me on for 80 hours. We had people work at airports, you know, manufacturing centers. And if a faculty member really wants to do this and they don't have any connections anywhere, the United States' Manufacturing Extension Partnership Program that's ran through NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, they have placed all of our faculty members that didn't know where they wanted to go, because there's one in every state. Actually, there's multiple in each state. So there's four here in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And then they help them do projects. So they're more than happy to bring somebody in, because normally these are, you know, small to medium-sized companies that are needing an expert to come in to help them with a project.
Interesting. So you mentioned the manufacturing extensions. Do you have any equivalents in other sectors that you work with, if you work with any trade orgs or things of that nature?
So we have worked with suppliers. One of the ones this term, a faculty member worked with a company that makes the paint that does the high impact resin paint for steel structures. Because this company actually had a cyber attack about 5 years ago, and they were needing to do an audit of all their IT systems for their manufacturing program. So that added a lot of different context. We had faculty members work on maritime stuff in North Carolina, where they're actually working with the naval bases and the shipping yards, working with maritime. So we haven't had very many students do critical infrastructure. Take, for instance, your power, waterways, water treatment. That's my next one, is to work with water treatment systems. But this is only the second year of this program, so we're kind of excited to be this far along in the second year of offering this program. The idea is, in the future, is that we can grow this into more areas, especially all of our, seven, infrastructure regions, electric, water, power, all of our different sectors that we would want to make sure that we can hear.
Yep, interesting. Now, from a financial perspective, who gets paid and who does the paying on this?
Right. So from a financial perspective, and this is where it gets kind of odd, right? Because we're paying the faculty member to go and do have this experience. So National Science Foundation, with Insight, is paying a stipend for faculty members to go do the work, in hopes that the company will say, yes, we would love you to come in for 2 weeks, or whatever the agreement is between the faculty member and the company, to do this work for free. Essentially, the faculty member does need to write up a report. They have a series of questions and things that they have to answer, but a lot of it falls on the faculty member and working with Insight. Now, that leaves a little bit of gray area where a company may say, hey, we don't have a process for that. We would love for you to come in and work, but in order to be an employee here and have a username and a password and all that kind of stuff, it's got to go through our HR systems. So we have had some companies that really want to be a part of it, but haven't quite figured out the process yet. But we're working with those companies to actually build an externship project, with Boeing. Boeing is very interested in doing a faculty externship as a part of their regular summer offerings.
Interesting. Yeah, it's kind of ironic that you're not set up to take free services or get free work.
I know, right?
It's lawyers, right? The legal liabilities of not having a monetary exchange can complicate matters a little bit. So interesting,
right? And then what if a faculty member gets hurt?
Right, with no pay, the workers' compensation, all the legal stuff, as you're aware, you have to work through it.
Yes, and that's what it comes down to. Municipalities have been very easy to work with because they basically fill out ride-alongs, right along with a police officer, you have to fill out a certain amount of information. We can do the same to work in IT for, for water treatments or whatever, as long as it's county or state ran, they can fill out that same paperwork. So we found some ways around for students or for the faculty members to work in critical infrastructure. But that's kind of been the workaround.
This is currently funded by the NSF. So obviously there's a limited amount of money. What kind of capacity and volume are you looking at? And, what would your plans be to scale it? Can you scale it? How would you go about doing that?
Yeah. So right now, we can only take about 20 faculty members per term. And it kind of goes over the summer because a lot of faculty they don't necessarily have summers off, but they have reduced schedules in the summer. Take, for instance, faculty at the community college that I'm at, instead of teaching seven classes, they'll go down to teach two classes. But also they have Fridays off. So some companies in our area are hey, stop in every Friday for 2 months and get your 80 hours. We would love for you to participate. So there's that opportunity as well, right? To be able to kind of utilize the time. I would love, because we're getting so much interest, I would love to get it to 20 to 30 faculty members per summer. and to kind of continue that. Right now, the ask, I believe from the National Science Foundation, was 15 per year. And we easily are meeting that metric.
In terms of the lessons learned, you mentioned, you know, with the faculty going out into industry and discovering things that might be missing from the curriculum, is there a mechanism to take that and then evangelize that across the U.S. versus just one institution?
Yes, yes. So that's really what we're focused on for this entire project, is really collecting that information. As much as I love and highly, highly support all of our business advisory teams and all that kind of stuff, sometimes the things that are mentioned in the business advisory team, the faculty may not know enough about to help fully incorporate into their classes. So sending a faculty member out for 2 weeks or 3 weeks into a company so they can see what that is, so they can bring that information back and put it into their classrooms, it's extremely valuable. So what I do is I take everybody's feedback from all of the externships and I formulate it into one entire report with requests on what needs to be developed to help community colleges or universities. And then what we're going to do is we're going to build that and we're going to deliver the classes through Insight, because again, the National Cybersecurity Training Center is the perfect place to disseminate all of the information that we're collecting together. A very simple one right now, people are a little concerned about what's going on with VMware. That's been a concern ever since, you know, the sale of the company, you know, Motorola and all this kind of stuff. So what's going to happen with VMware licensing? Well, that's an institutional issue. That's a business concern. So then we start hearing, okay, well, some companies are going to turn over to Proxmox. All right, well, we're going to start developing Proxmox classes because that's the need. It's an industry need, so then they need the students to learn it. We need to train faculty members because it's a new product to learn. And then we need to disseminate it by running summer training classes for faculty members so they can understand that new concept to add to their classroom.
Interesting. So yeah. If someone was interested in exploring externships or bringing an extern on to their company, what's the best approach for them to get in touch with you or get in touch with Insight and inquire about
that? Sure. Yeah. So Insight might be the best way to get in contact. So Insight.net, especially if they are a business or industry, we have a way that businesses can communicate with us. So we have an institution or an industry advisory section. And I think in there, you can just elect to be a part of the advisory committee. And being a part of that advisory committee allows you to work with us, interact with us, and so on. But also, I don't mind if companies want to reach out directly to me, because we may have friends at other community colleges that we can reach out to or universities and say, hey, if you have a need, and let's say you're in Idaho, well, we have a lot of friends in those districts in Idaho that may not know about this externship. Let's connect you with a need and somebody that doesn't know about the externship together. That's actually what happened at the conference that we spoke at EnergySec. Met with an individual there, right? We're going to get him into the externship program and get him working with some of the local businesses.
Excellent. Yeah, love to see those connections come together. So yeah. beyond the NSF funding, if there's interest out there and you can make connections, certainly there's a mechanism for you to place externs with other funding other than the core NSF funding?
There has been other companies that are building externship programs for faculty members. And then we're slowly connecting faculty members to those locations. Like I just mentioned, Boeing, just for an example, they're going to make an externship for faculty just to be a part of their regular program. They're going to have a student internship program, and then they're going to have a faculty externship program, just a part of their business model. And that's just a connection we made, right? So like, that might just be things that we build on in the future, is just making those connections, even though that they're not a part of this, you know, National Science Foundation project, we're still there to connect businesses, instructors, students together.
Excellent. Well, I think that's a sign of a good idea and a good program when others are adopting it and implementing things that you're doing. And certainly, I'm sure that warms your heart to see the good work you're doing be replicated. They say that, but imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, as they say.
Yeah. And it's, I think this goes a little bit differently. So like I have a faculty member here that used to work at Stanford, and it was very common practice that a Stanford faculty member would go work at a company, and they would be like a company trade-off, where a person from industry would come teach and where the faculty member would go work. That works really well, especially at a large institution like that. But working at a community college where 90% of our faculty are directly out of industry, right? And they're just teaching at community colleges. I feel like we have a very unique set of faculty members that we can offer to help companies, to help the region, right? That they may be located in. It's a little bit different model than some of the other large, you know, we're not MIT, we're not Virginia Tech or anything like that. But you're talking every community college and university in the United States helping out with these projects. I think there's like 1,900 community colleges in the U.S. So imagine having a faculty member all across the U.S. that would have, that companies could have access to, would be great. And building that relationship, right? Because after some of my faculty members did externships, now those companies are hiring our interns.
It's win-win.
It really helps. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the word community college, the word community is in the name of the school. So they are in every community. They're a local and a great resource that are, I'm sure, underutilized in many cases.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? I think it was in 1952 when community colleges could actually register as a community college in the United States. That was the idea, was to have a regional school that students would have access to. Right? It's about having that access, the ability, and when I think about a lot of the classes that we teach at community colleges, they're hands-on, they're workforce-geared and ready. So we do want to make sure that our faculty members are also teaching that. So this is also helping benefit the faculty member to that they can bring that back to the classroom.
Excellent. Well, great discussion, great topic. I'm glad to be able to join us. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with before we wrap up?
No, it's been a lot of fun. And what I really enjoy reading over is the documents of all of the different type of materials we get back about things that I've never considered before, about having cybersecurity classes for automotive, for, like I said, like a company that makes paint, for small business manufacturers. I will probably have a finished report. I'm going to have one per year. So if anybody's ever interested in maybe looking over those reports about maybe where our gaps are from what we've reviewed, they'll probably be on the Insights page.
All right. And you know my bias. I want to get more cybersecurity professionals into critical infrastructure, securing our power grid, our water systems, our oil, natural gas infrastructures, and all of that. So don't forget about us. But thank you very much for joining us. It's been a great discussion. And hopefully we'll see this idea and this concept continue to grow into the future.
Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Not only is Direct Connect available to listen to, you can also watch each episode on our YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/@ArcherU. If you're interested in who we are and what we do, you can head on over to our website at archerint.com. You can also follow us on our social media platforms, Archer International on Facebook, Archer Energy Solutions LLC on LinkedIn, and @ArcherSEC on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and check back every other week for brand new episodes of Direct Connect.